All right, we're back. This is Pete with Home Matters, 770 KTTH in Cairo, 97.3 FM in the great state of Seattle. We've got a great show that we're going through. We're in segment two here. We're talking to Craig Nordberg. He is the founder of Norberry Tile. And you can check out his website over at norberry.com. He's got some just beautiful pictures of his work, what he's done. He's also got a salon. If you want to go over and meet him there in person and talk about your project. Like I said, one of the things about Craig being not just an architectural artisan and also a historian is, like he said in the last segment, whatever you can dream, he can make it into a reality. And it's, you know, no two are ever the same, which is really cool. It's a very unique project that you do for people. So I like that. That's cool. Okay, so let's continue our discussion. So we kind of got caught up, and now I want to talk about you as a tile consultant, because this is a little different than what people have in their heads, which is, well, I work with my general contractor, and I go to a big box store, and I buy tile, and my general contractor installs it. Mm-hmm. This is a different type of category of tile work and tile design and tile architecture. So what does your consultation include? Like, when you work with a client, what does that include?
Well, I would invite the client in to check out the showroom. And I would appreciate a picture of the house, because I am sort of that art historian.
So you're looking for the architectural time period piece that was...
I want to make that home, or help make that home, a timeless project.
Okay.
There's no bigger compliment than somebody walking into one of our Norberry baths and thinking that this was original with the house. So we do period type homes all the way from Victorian is about the oldest you get in Seattle.
Okay.
Mid-century was a specialty in Seattle.
When was it? Victorian was what time period in Seattle?
Late 1800s.
Okay.
Now we're located down in the Mount Baker neighborhood, where we do have some of the older homes in Seattle.
Okay. And then the next time period was what that was built?
We'll get into the arts and crafts. There was really quite a bit of that.
Okay. And what neighborhoods have arts and crafts in Seattle?
Arts and crafts all the way from Mount Baker through Madrona. There was quite a bit up in northern North Lake Washington.
Okay.
And then there just really wasn't an original house design in Seattle until the mid-century. And now it really blew up. We had great architects and teachers at the University of Washington.
Okay. And this was when? In the
1940.
Okay. I was going to say 50s, but 40s.
And then it 40s is where it started, and then into the 50s.
Okay.
And Gene Jongleward was one of our top interior designers that was working alongside. So we had both the exterior and interiors happening at the same time.
Was that kind of in the same time period as the arts and crafts, or did that come after?
It came after. So mid-century is post-World War II.
Okay.
Arts and crafts was before that, and you even had Sears catalogs that fit that arts and crafts.
I remember that, yeah. And they had the kit
houses.
They
had the kits. Yeah. You could order a kit.
I remember that as a kid. You looked at them, and you could... I remember those old catalogs. My dad would collect those darn things.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they just deliver it to your front yard.
Yeah.
You got to buy
your kit home and, put it on your piece of land. Let's go. When did... So, arts and crafts, then, when did Craftsman style show up then, Craig?
Craftsman came along early 1900s.
Okay.
A couple of the biggest architects, well, Frank Lloyd Wright would be somebody recognizable. Yeah. He was a little more utopian design.
Yeah.
But my favorites, Green and Green, and they were located in Pasadena, California.
Okay.
To begin with.
Okay.
Now they
were they around the same time as Frank Lloyd Wright?
They were contemporaries, yes.
Okay.
Frank Lloyd Wright was designing more for the machine.
Yeah.
Green and Green were designing for the handmade.
Okay.
They even had a house down in Pasadena that was designed without a single nail in it.
Really?
So it really was about craftsmanship.
So it was it all puss and beam with the pegging and everything?
Little pegging. They had, the coolest details were where they took beam designs from the Norwegians, and they could take two massive beams and connect them with one single peg. a giant peg in the middle of
it. And it would hold it all together.
It would hold it all together.
Was that structural, too? Was it able to carry load? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It came from a Norwegian bridge design.
Yeah. I was always, you know, I did not know about green or green, but I was fascinated with Frank Lloyd Wright. I almost became an architect. I wanted to, you know, I went to engineering school, but, you know, I fell in love with Falling Waters, and then you have all the other homes that he did. They were just so progressive. I mean, you know, it was still kind of time period because he used a lot of wood, which we don't do a lot today.
Right.
And some people I kind of like that. Some people don't. They, you know, they're more in the modern style architecture, you know,
right.
they want the glass and the sheetrock and stuff. But it was fascinating to see his work.
Yeah. And just showing off the elements, especially of the woodwork. And that's really where Green and Greens were specialized. They worked really closely with Tiffany Glass.
Yeah.
So a lot of they were designing even the sconces in the houses.
Wow.
So it was just, every house was just
that's
a jewel.
Crazy.
Every button design.
So, that's cool. So when you're working with people, with the clients that you have that work in these, they have these time period homes.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you, I'm always wondering, because you're trying to preserve the architectural theme, like you said, so it's like it looked like it's always been here, right?
Correct.
But then how do you integrate that in with like the client's preferences too? Because it seems like that could clash sometimes, maybe.
It does. And one thing about the arts and crafts is that they really didn't have the love for the bathrooms.
Okay.
So for example, the plumbing, I understand that really has to be updated.
Okay.
And so
was a lot of that plumbing kind of exterior to the wall, wasn't it?
A lot of it was, and it was really very basic.
Yeah.
Kitchens and the bathrooms
didn't get a lot of love.
Yeah.
So when you're having discussions with the clients and maybe you're saying, okay, well, you know, I see what's going on here. Here's some suggestions for a vision of where you could go. Mm-hmm. And they're going, well, yeah, that's good, but what if we could do this? How do you kind of – how do you integrate and meld in the preferences versus keeping that architectural time period style intact?
I love working with teams. So architects, designer, and then the contractor.
Okay.
And of course the homeowner would be in that meeting and they would throw out ideas and I could help refine what might be the best solution. I can understand where they're trying to get to.
Okay.
But then some items might not be so realistic, where others would be really fabulous to do that they weren't thinking about. So,
as you, for the listeners on the show, is your kind of your ideal client someone who lives in one of these time period homes that's hired an architect and designer, and you're the consultant side with the tile? Is that kind of how, is that who you look for?
It is. I'm able to sell the material, but sometimes it's more cost effective for me just to charge by the hour.
Okay.
And in some cases I might have to suggest a product from a competitor. So I do have this.
So you're really kind of being the consultant. You're agnostic. It doesn't really, you're looking for a certain vision, not who you're going to go with as a vendor.
The model's changed, especially since COVID.
Okay.
But yes, that's exactly the direction I'm going in now, being more agnostic, but, still, if I come in with a project, having worked in this industry for 30 years, manufacturers are willing to work with me.
Okay. And then what do you do? I mean, because a lot of it, too, could be, you know, it's kind of a, I don't know what I don't know, right? So if I'm a client, how are you suggesting maybe not just the vision, but the functional requirements for that particular bathroom or kitchen and the tile that goes along with it?
Well, I'm going to look at the history of it, of course, but then there's I think, for example, a shape of a rectangle fits that subway style. So by extending it, lengthening the rectangle, we're still keeping it and honoring the old look.
Okay, got it. We come back. We're going to continue our discussion here with Craig Nordberg of Norbury Tile. We're going to move into kind of the recommendations, design assistance, some of the sample selection he does that takes a client like you down the path. So, you know, if you're looking, it could be even new construction too, but especially if you have a time period home here and you're working with architects and designers, it's a good idea to give Craig a call. You can call him at 206-343-9916 because he will absolutely preserve the historic aspect of that home, but to give you something that you can absolutely love as well. With that, I'm Pete. This is Home Matters, KRadio 97.3 FM at 770 KTTH.